Oh, man. Is that good or what? My heart is like going 90 billion miles an hour right now. And I'm just glad it's moving, y'all. I'm just glad it's going. I'm just glad it's going. So exciting to be here today. Such a blessing. We have a lot of folks out, folks that are sick. My wife's sick at home today, and others that are out, that are traveling, that are doing things and stuff going on in their life. But I'm glad that you are right here in this moment. Can we just say thank you to our veterans? Can we do that real quick? Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Can we also, while we're clapping for folks, can we just clap for all the new people in the house? They're all over the place. They're over here and everywhere. Every week we have new people. And just keep you clapping up for the online church. We're glad you guys are here. We love you. We love you. We're going to the PJ church. The PJ church. That's pajamas for you guys who are a little, you know, from Tennessee. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Just a joke. Just a joke. Listen, I want to say something of a very serious nature for a moment. Last night, I was just really just kind of laying in bed thinking about today and about before I go to sleep. And right now, I know of so, and this is serious, this is very serious. Right now, I know of so many marriages that are struggling. I think the enemy knows that if he can break the family, he's got us. He's got us. And what I want to encourage you is, if you're in the house today, at the end of our service today, whether your marriage is struggling or not, I'm going to even encourage you as a couple to join hands and walk to a prayer warrior. It doesn't matter, male or female, if it's you guys are together, just go and just have somebody pray over your marriage. Can I just also say to you, if you feel like there's something going on in your marriage that you're in trouble about, that things are maybe not where you hope they would be or wish they would be or want them to be, can I just encourage you to please don't wait until it's really, really late before you go talk to somebody about it? And I say that because so many times by the time people get to me, just as a pastor, and I'm not a licensed professional counselor, but I counsel a lot of people, especially in marriages, and by the time they get to me, there's so much just withdrawal and anger and frustration already there. Listen, don't let it get there. If you're living with somebody outside of a relationship, of marriage, you need to get that right. Get it right before God. Do that. If you are in a situation where you're dating somebody right now and you're just not sure and you don't really know if that's the person or not or whatever, our dating system and our culture sets you up so many times for failure. I can't tell you how many times I see posted on Facebook, oh, I'm just marrying my best friend and we're just so happy and we're just in love. It's in love. Why do you live together a few weeks? You'll still be in love. But marriage is work. And if you don't work it, if you don't work it, and I'm talking work it, then it's something that will go away. And I don't know why I just had that strong on my heart last night. It has nothing to do with my message today. Today's not a message. That's February. We're going to do a series on family in February. But today, I just felt like I wanted to say that. And for those of you who are struggling, you don't know what's going on, and you're confused and you're scared and all those things, please reach out. Church family is here for you. We love you. We honestly, come on, church, do we mean it, Discovery? We mean it. We mean it. God did not save you as a person. He saved us as a people. I said that a lot here, and I just want you to understand that that's why church exists. Church doesn't exist for you to come and hear a message every week and have a great song service, which, by the way, today was incredible, incredible time. But it's just, and those are all part of it, but really, we're here to do life together, and I love that I get to do life with you guys. I feel good, by the way, just letting you know, some of you have asked today, I feel very, very good, and people are wondering about my scans, and people are like, man, I just can't wait to get the news. You know, I'm like, oh, well, okay, all right, that's good. But it's a week from tomorrow. I won't know until then. So we're going to get clear scans then. That's my hope and my prayer and my belief and my trust. One more bit of news before we get into the message today. And that is, last week we had our Legacy Giving Sunday, which really is a Legacy Giving week. And as of yesterday, the total, and it's going to change a little bit because of the way Tithely and online giving does. It'll change and fluctuate a little bit. We had $20,230 as of yesterday. Let's just give God a hand clap of praise for that. You guys are a generous church, and I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of that. If you're a guest with us today, I want to encourage you to reach in the chair out of the chair. Every church does this. We promise to come to your house and visit you and take all your money if you'll fill that out. But, I'm kidding. We won't do that. We won't bother you or whatever, but we would love to connect with you. Those are called connection cards. If you just pull one of those out, fill it out, there's a couple of boxes on the back here. It's where our church puts our tithes and offerings at the end of service. If you'll just drop that in there, we'd love to connect with you. If you're online, you can go to our website at discoveryal.church. And you can click the Connect tab. It's the same card online. If you're in-house and you want to go online just because you're an electronic person, that's okay. Go for it. It's the same exact thing, and so hope you'll do that. One more thing. I said one more thing, but I got one more thing, and it's in red. Impact, step two is today. And step two is a time when you can come here, and we will take you through a spiritual gifts assessment and a personality profile and help you understand maybe just how you fit in kingdom work and hopefully how you could do that here if you don't have a church home. And we'd love for you to come and be a partner with us in our church and get on a team. It's fun to serve, ain't it, guys? Come on, isn't it fun? We really enjoy serving the Lord in different ways. And so lots of different ways to do that. So do you ever get human in your prayers? I mean, like real human. Like you, in the midst of a prayer, the devil will run a thought through your head like, why are you praying this, man? Why would you even say that? God ain't listening to you. And we tend to gravitate toward the negative side of answering of prayers. And we've been on a kick now for a while with prayer, and it really hasn't been a series, but it sort of has been. And we are a church of prayer, thank God. I think it's why we're growing. I think it's why we're moving. I think it's why God is blessing us as we are crying out to Him, because He's the source of all good things. Scripture says that He's the creator of everything, and then out of His resources, He can give us inner peace if we will ask Him. He'll also give you Holy Spirit if you will ask Him. He just loves being a gracious God. And so in that, we always kind of, I'll say we always, often as humans, we gravitate toward the negative side of that. What if I pray something and nothing happens? Or what if I pray something and God says no? Or He says wait? Or He says that, you know, He's going to answer it in a different way or whatever, or however you want to think about that in a negative sense. But let me ask you a better question. What if He does? What if He does? Last week we saw a story in the book of Acts. We're reading, it's the fifth book of your Bible in the New Testament side of the Bible. And we saw a story where Peter is delivered from prison. He's in prison, shackled between two soldiers, asleep, for crying out loud. That's hilarious. And he gets delivered, and he doesn't even know it's happening. He thinks it's a dream. He thinks it's a vision God is giving him. And until he gets out on the street, and the angel leaves him, and bada bing, he's out of prison. And everybody's all stirred up about it. So today what we're going to do is we're going to finish that story. So we're in Acts 12 again, and we're going to start with verse 12. And it says this, and this will be in your notes. By the way, when you came in, you should have been given a worship guide with some notes inside. If you want to fill in some blanks, you can pull those out, and we're going to read through some scripture together. It'll be on the screen as well. And if you'd like to turn over in your Bibles, we used to say that in church all the time. Y'all turn over in your Bibles. Well, you can't really do that. If you'll turn your Bibles to Acts 12, you can read, all right? And that was funnier to me than it was y'all, and so it don't matter. You should have a little bit of more sympathy with my jokes lately. All right, here we go. When Peter realizes that he's out on the street and he's free and he's out of prison, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. And we learned last week that they weren't just gathered for prayer. It wasn't a kumbaya moment. It wasn't a let's get together and thank God for the food and go home. It was they were earnestly praying. They were endeavoring to, I don't know what that looked like, but I'm sure it involved their entire self. Isn't it interesting, by the way, that we wait oftentimes until we're in the deepest part of trouble in our life to get super earnest with prayer? If things are going fine, we just kind of cruise, don't we? We just like, thank you, Lord, for the day. It's just a beautiful day. It's okay. And I think sometimes, I know God understands that, and He knows we're human and that kind of thing. But our earnest prayers should always, our prayers ought to always be earnest and focused on who he is. Now, that's another message for another time. But here they were gathered for prayer. They had prayed for Peter, hoping he wouldn't end up like James, which was beheaded at the beginning of that chapter. And then he was, and then verse 13 says, he knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. Now, you guys who are old school, y'all remember Rhoda, the TV show Rhoda. I can't read this story without thinking about the old school TV Rhoda. I'm sorry. Rhoda came and she opened it, and when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran back in and said, Peter's standing at the door. I mean, she's so excited. Have you ever been so excited you just kind of lose yourself in the moment and like you forget to do something that you were supposed to do? I mean, she just doesn't even open the door. Well, they said, praise God. We prayed and God answered our prayers. Yes, we're so excited. We're so glad. Let's go get Peter and bring him in and rejoice. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, this is what it says. They said, you're out of your mind. Well, when she insisted, they said, it's got to be his angel. It can't be Peter. Do you ever do God that way? It's like you get a yes answer and you get something that happens and you're like, it's almost sometimes more difficult for us to deal with a yes than it is a no. We know what happens when we get a no or a wait. It's like, God, why are you waiting? The psalmist even says, why have you forsaken me? And are you asleep? And would you wake up? And da-da-da-da-da, on and on. We get in those kind of modes. But they get a yes, he's there, and they're going, nah, can't be. It just can't be. And we do it this way in our culture. We go, that's just unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I would love to go into a Tim Hawkins skit that I heard. I can't go there, but it's so funny. But we do that to God. We say, that's unbelievable. We ought to end those statements with, well, that's so believable. We prayed it. Why shouldn't we expect that? And oftentimes, we have so many self-fixes for our problems that we forget that God's even involved in it at all. And I think we have to realize, I think I have to realize that it's only God that we need. And we're going to get to that toward the end of the message. Meanwhile, Peter's still knocking. By this time, I'm sure with Peter's attitude, he's probably ready to kick the door down. Open the door. Part of the problem is that Peter realizes he's escaped from prison. So he knows what's about to happen. Herod Agrippa, he's not going to give up that easily. In fact, he sentenced all the guards that had Peter guarded to death. That was the rule. You lose your prisoner, you lose your life. And Peter knew that he had to get inside. He needed to be inside. So he keeps knocking. And when they finally opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. I love amazement. And we get these rhema moments, the scripture, it's this idea of aha moments. If you're a teacher in school, God bless you, by the way. God bless our teachers, amen. If you're a teacher in our schools, man, you have a tough job. But isn't it fun when you're teaching somebody something, or coaching for that matter? That's a form of teaching, whatever you're doing. Peyton, I pointed at Peyton. But it's so much fun when you teach somebody something and the lights come on and their eyes go, oh, I get it. I get it. See, God wants us to get it. He wants those moments in our life where we look at him and go, oh, Father, thank you. It's so good. And those are hard times. When we're in hard times, that's very difficult to do, by the way. And so Peter continued knocking. When they opened the door, they were amazed, and he motioned for them to quiet down. One translation actually said he put his hands in the air and said, shh. They were all pumped and excited, and Peter's like, don't talk too loud. They're after me. Shh. So he says, he motions for them to quiet down, and he told them how the Lord had led him out of prison. The word there literally means deliverance. And we talked about that last week, that he was delivered out of prison. If your translation says at the top of the, you know, you got titles for trans, that this is Peter's miraculous escape. He didn't escape. He didn't even know what was happening. God delivered him. Listen, God is in the process of delivering you. Sometimes we're in a place where we can't see it and we don't understand it. We just have to accept that however he's going to do it, we have to trust in his deliverance. And he says, tell James, and by the way, this is not obviously the James that just had got beheaded. This is James, the brother of Jesus. I did some study on this, and this is James who helped lead the church at that time, big-time leader in the church. Tell James and the other brothers what happened, he said, and then he went to another place. I mean, I'd like to know where he went. I'd like to know what he did. And we can surmise. Some people think he went to Rome. Some people think that my best guess is that he went to Antioch, because the only other time in the book of Acts, this is chapter 12 out of 28 chapters, and the only other time you read about Peter in the book of Acts is in Acts 15, when they're trying to fix a problem that's in the church, and he's involved in it. You can read about that in Acts chapter 15. Other than that, he's never mentioned again in the book. Never again. He just went to another place. Listen, there's so much stuff to learn here, but I've simplified this down into two things that I got from this, And I love the humanity of the Bible. The Bible doesn't dress these people up as they were great spiritual warriors that were, you know, praying so fervently and how they were just amazed at what God did and they praised him. The Bible's very honest. They were like, nah. I just love that about the scriptures. That it's one of the evidences of that the Bible is what it is. Because if this had been a fairy tale book, they would have all been much more spiritual than they were. But God is just real about this. And so he's writing this story. He doesn't dress it all up. And neither does he dismiss the miraculous. He just simply is telling a story, Luke is. And then Peter goes to another place. What do we learn? What do we learn from this story and these people? There's two things. And basically, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? And I want to talk to you about two things. First one is we seek the influence of the Lord. Now, to be quite honest with you, when I re-preached this morning, and I'm preaching it now, I'm searching for a deeper meaning from this. But when I read this story, all I could see was Peter, all he wanted them to do was, y'all quieten down. We're not going to shout this story from the hilltops. We're going to shout Jesus from the hilltops. Because it just says he went to another place. Why did he do that? If you read the story of the disciples and you read his books, 1st and 2nd Peter, you can read those and learn a lot about it. If you read the story of Matthew and Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, once these guys were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they began to go out for Jesus, that was their focus. The reason Peter was glad he lived is he got longer to be able to be an influence for God. And the reason we get to live our lives any longer, the reason you take a breath every day ought to be that you have influence for God. It's not to have this cool connection with God and all that, not just to have a cool connection or even to have kind of sway over people. Too many Christians try to bounce the Bible off of people's heads and beat them down into submission instead of just loving people and using our influence to show people what Christ really is all about. In fact, the scripture says that we ought to just be light. Scripture says this in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. And no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. He gives this illustration of light in a dark place. And he says this little phrase, in the same way. Everybody say the same way. Yeah, boy, y'all said that enthusiastically. Everybody say same way. We are in the same way, he says, let your good deeds shine for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. People aren't going to come to Jesus, guys, until we shine the light of Jesus into the world. And I think that's why this kind of focus of this passage jumped out at me when I saw Peter say he went to another place. Because everywhere he went to influence for Christ. And we ought to influence people with light, with light. Scripture says in him is no darkness at all. You know, when you go home at night and you get ready for bed, you don't turn on the dark switch, do you? You don't get ready for bed and go over to the wall and turn on the dark switch. No, you turn the light off. And when the light goes away, darkness comes. And that's the way most of the people around your life are living right, in your life are living right now. They're groping around in the darkness of this world trying to figure out and get themselves to figure out how they can be happy in the moment and happy in the place and happy. And they're looking for love in all the wrong places. That's an old country song, but it's just true. They're looking for this concept of light in their life, and most of them don't even know about that. How many of you would testify and say you remember a time in your life when you were looking for darkness and you were not looking for light? Come on, y'all raise your hand. Come on. We could line up and come across the stage and say, here, this is the way I was when I was in darkness. And I remember a time in my life when I told my friends who were trying to influence me for Jesus to say, look, you leave Jesus out of this. And the reason I wanted Jesus out of it was because Jesus was shining light on all the dark places in my life. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. It's not comfortable when you're trying to hide something and somebody walks in and shines a flashlight on you. It's not fun when you get caught. It is not enjoyable even when you're in it and you're not even getting caught, because you know yourself, you're not in the light and you're living in the darkness and you're not caught yet, but you know you're going to be one day, because the Bible says be sure your sins will find you out. You're going to be either caught, and God already knows. The light of the world already knows what's going on in your life. And so what happens is, and maybe this is why this influence was in here, is we lose our influence in place of, we trade our influence for a different kind of influence in the world. And when that happens, you start living either happy or unhappy instead of joyful or not. Because circumstances change and things change. And as they do, sometimes we let the darkness come back into our life. Listen, just shine the light. I told somebody before services today, the quicker you get to forgiveness, the better you're going to be. All I'm asking them to do is to shine light on a place in their life where it's dark. And when you get to that point of forgiveness, you're going to be so set free from that. And I wished I could make this easy. I wish there was an easy button I could push and say, here's what you do. If you just, you know, we want a prescription, don't we? We just want something that's going to fix it. The prescription is Jesus, and it's living for Him. And the sooner we get to the point where we are influencing for Him, the better we're going to be. That's point number one. Point number two, and I think is much more important, and even much more influential is, and this is the final point of the day, is to seek the presence of the Lord. Seek the presence of the Lord. Can I ask you a serious question real quick? Well, I say that. Preachers say that all the time. Then we ask the question, right? I'm going to ask you a question. It's a soul-searching question. It's a serious question. And it's for people of all ages. What are you looking for? What do you want? If you could snap your fingers and make it happen, what would that look like? That's a long list in this room, I can tell. I want this fixed or that fixed. Or I want this to go away. Or what do you want? We get told all the time in our country, just you live in. Can I change mics? This thing's going to mess up. This thing keeps blanking out on me. We live all the time in our country, and we're told all the time, all you have to do is just, we live in a free country. Just, you know, believe in yourself. That's the big thing in our culture. Problem with that with me, I don't know about you, but myself keeps letting me down. It's bad advice. Just do what your heart says. No. Because most of the time when I've done what my heart says, which is based on feelings and emotions, that doesn't turn out really well either. What do you want? If you're in a marriage and you're having trouble, well, if he would just do this, then I'd be happy. Or she would just do this, or don't do this, I'd be all right. If my boss would just simply keep his mouth or her mouth hushed, I'd be a happier person. If my teacher at school would say, if my friends would quit talking about such and such, if my boyfriend or girlfriend would stop wanting to do this or that, and on, we can make this long list of things that if this were better, I would be happier. I would be where I want to be. And I'll be honest, I did not see this message going this way, but I think it's so true that we have to determine something, guys. Listen, all of us, if you're online listening, if you're in this house listening, if you're listening to this 10 years from now on a recording, it's still going to be true. We all have to decide what's most important to us. Now, if I rephrase the question and said, what do you want that's eternal? Because the other list is probably something temporary. Because if it's a part of this world, it all is. And I think the goal of our heart is important. I think it's important. What am I looking for? We sing the song, Break Every Stronghold. We sing those words. What we're looking for is going to determine what we think about those words while we're singing them. That for which you are seeking is going to determine everything in your life. If you think it's education, you're going to seek out for the best college. If you think it's money, you're going to seek out for the best job. If you think it's a relationship, you're going to start seeking out for what you think is the best thing in the whole wide world. And let me tell you, all of those things are fine and good and okay to seek out, but they're not the most important things or thing. You know, For me, my prayer life and your prayer life for me has been focused on this cancer tumor they found in me. That's not in me anymore. Praise God. And I keep believing toward that. So next Monday, a week from tomorrow, I'm going to hear from my doctor what the PET scan says. And I fully believe with all my heart he's going to say, man, it was a great PET scan. It was great. I believe that. And right now, I'm in the faith world side of that, which means I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet, but through my faith eyes, I can see it already. You know why? Because that which I'm seeking is not to be cancer-free. That for which I'm seeking is not to be healed. I'm not looking for a miracle, although I would really enjoy one. And I don't think that the focus of the people we had the story about, I don't know what their focus was in prayer. I wasn't in that room. I just know they prayed earnestly for Peter. He gets healed miraculously. He gets brought out of prison, delivered miraculously. And they go, I can't believe it. Wow. So what am I getting at here? What do you think is the most important thing that, for you to seek after? Yeah, if Jesus was your answer, that's a really good answer. But I think it goes deeper than just that. Bless you. I feel better after that sneeze. I don't know who sneezed, but that was such a good sneeze. Bless you, sis. Everybody online feels better after that sneeze.
Jesus is we always say Jesus is the answer. Seeking after him is the answer. But I think it's even deeper than that, at least for me. Because I think sometimes we put Jesus in this, like, especially since we watch it, like, with The Chosen, a lot of times people depict how he looked and those kind of things. We kind of characterize Jesus, but it's deeper than just that. And the answer, the blank to fill in is this: seek the presence of the Lord. Everybody say presence. And for Keith, at least, and maybe I'm not translating this. I hope I am. I've been seeking Holy Spirit for a long time. You guys know this. And I've been seeking a better relationship with him. But I'm learning not to seek that for anything other than his presence. Because at the end of my life, whenever that comes, and it's coming, at the end of my life, he and his presence are all that's going to matter. All that's going to matter. And you say, well, we know this. Why are you? I think we know it, but guys, I want to tell you something. Let me encourage you. And I haven't waited. It's not like I'd woke up on October the 4th when I got this cancer diagnosis and said, oh, okay, I'm going to seek the presence of God. I don't believe that. I believe I've been seeking the presence of God for a long time. In fact, I think it's the presence of God that got me through that moment and through the surgery and through the NG tube and on and on and on and on and on. It's who gets me through a fight with Liz. It's who gets me through frustration with you and you with me. It's not magic. It's not a potion. And I think sometimes we seek the miracle over the maker. And I want us to seek him. I want to know his presence. I want to, in the deepest, darkest moment of my life, when I'm in by myself and no one else is around, I want him to know that he is all that matters to me. And that doesn't mean that we don't matter to each other. I don't want to try to overstate it, but can you overstate this? Because here's what's happening. As long as you seek your joy and your peace and everything in another person or in another thing or waiting on a miracle or wondering if it's going to happen or not or the job situation or whatever, how it's going to turn out, and when it turns out, when it's unfavorable, what are you going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? I think it matters. I think it matters. And seeking his presence. I found a passage in Psalm 105, verse 4, that says, search for the Lord and for his strength, continually seek him. And I looked up those little Hebrew words for search for and seek him. And they literally mean to seek with care. It's not like, okay, God, I'm out. Well, where are you? Here I am, you know. It's caring about it. You see, I don't think some of you even care about your relationship with God. Other things are more important right now. And I think sometimes we have to be told certain things in order to get our minds geared toward, I think, sometimes I have to be told, hey, this is happening to you, and to really kind of focus my life or to refocus my life where it needs to be. You have to do that to your kids, right? Redirection, they call it. Yeah, my mama had a redirection. But we're to seek God with care. So what does that look like practically? It's in those moments when you don't know what to do, he knows what to do, and you seek him. It's in those moments when you're down, instead of getting out of the video game and looking through it, open the Psalms and read the Psalms and let them minister to you. Those are some practical things, but literally it's him that I want. I love his word, but I want him. I love his church, but I want him. I love his praise, but I want him. Worship team, could y'all come on up with me, please? I need you guys up here. I meant to call you up a little sooner, but I didn't do that. seek with care. And it's not just to seek with care. It's to seek with care because you care. Because you care. It's to examine, to inquire, to ask about, to often seek to know, not to know about, but to know Him. I grew up in a church that told me a lot about God, but we didn't talk a lot about God. We talk about knowing God and having a relationship with Him. It's an intentional thing. Are you intentionally every day seeking after the Father and His presence? Intentionally. That means you do it on purpose. It means when you wake up in the morning or you go to bed at night, whenever your quiet time is, mine is morning time. And it's like, I want to get in the Word. I want to hear what He has to say. And it may be a chapter a day. I want to talk to Him. I want to converse with Him. I want to have conversation. When I'm drinking my coffee, I want to converse with Him. I don't answer your text till I read His text. Sometimes I get texts in the middle of the night that I don't see, and I get up the next morning and I see the list on my phone. But He has to have precedence over you. He has to take precedence over everything. And when that happens and we seek after Him, the other word here for seek Him is to seek to obtain. To obtain. What do you want? What do you want? It's the focus of your heart. In Deuteronomy 4, the writer is writing about the children of Israel being kind of in a place of destitution. That's in your notes, so that's that blocked out part in your notes. Speaking themselves, and they were in a place of idolatry. They were in a place where they were not even seeking after God at all. And he says, but from there, can I just speak to maybe somebody online or somebody in-house who you really haven't been seeking after God, and you really, maybe you don't even know how, maybe you're so upset about a situation that you've not been seeking after His presence. Can I just say to you, but from there, from that place of destitution, I wished I could tell you that I lay down my head every night and I don't worry about cancer having been in my body. I wish I could tell you that. I wish I could tell you I was spiritually strong enough that I never think about it, that it never flies through my brain, the thought of what if the PET scan is bad. I wish I could tell you I didn't. But I'm human, right? And I love the fact that God says, but from there, but from that place, you will search again for the Lord your God. And oftentimes I have to say, well, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. I haven't been seeking after you. Last Wednesday evening, we baptized Mark into Christ. And you see those moments. It's like you were saying in that moment, hey, I've kind of sought after God, but I really sought after God from my own fleshly point. I won't read what you said, but I remember you said, I was following God from my own flesh, not trying to follow Him. But from there. Seek after Him. Search for the Lord. And if you search for Him with all your heart and soul, you will find Him. What does that mean? That means that when something tries to creep in to take out your search for the Lord, you need to run it out fast. Whatever it is. By the way, if it's a dating relationship and they're not seeking the Lord with you, run them out as fast as you possibly can. You young people, listen to me. Don't ever seek after anybody who's not following after God. I'm serious. Some of you, I look over here because there's a few sitting over here, but you old people, don't seek after anybody who's not seeking after God. Your friendships, the people you hang with, don't seek after people who aren't seeking after God. I'm telling you, search with him for him with all of your heart and all of your soul. And it says, the scripture says, you will find him. By the way, God's everywhere at the same time. He's not hard to find. Unless you do this. He will not break your will to stay away from him. You need to break that. You need to let him come in by the power of his Holy Spirit and break your will for his. You need to let him in. Prayer team, take your places. Everybody stand with me, please. Some of you right now have a will and you're bowed up. Y'all know what that is? That's a southern phrase. You know, it's right before something usually bad's about to happen. It's like, boy, you better bow up. You better bow up. Some of you bowed up and you're bowed up against God. You've been resisting for a very, very long time. And I'm just going to call you out right now. How many of you are tired of resisting? Would you just say, I'm tired of resisting the Lord. I'm ready. I'm ready to take a step. Whatever that step is. You don't even have to say what the step is. Anybody? Also, everybody in here is fully with all their heart seeking the Lord. Well, can I just praise God for that? Can I praise God for a group of people who are seeking after the Lord with everything they have inside of them? In these moments, we get a little scared because we're afraid, oh, no, he's going to ask me to go talk to these people standing around the room for all of our guests. These people standing around the room are our prayer team. And they're there for you. They're standing there for you to pray over you no matter what's going on. I want to encourage you. This is, remember the first of the message, I encourage you. Whether you're struggling in your marriage or you may have a great marriage, I want to encourage you, step out, walk, and pray with somebody. I want to encourage you right now, while we're playing right now. You don't have to wait till I get through talking or anything. You can go and you begin praying right now. It's just step out and pray with somebody. That's seeking after the presence of God. Is your marriage sold out to Jesus? Is your relationship sold? Are you completely sold out? Father, this morning as I lift my hand over this group of people, pray for those, Lord, that are just scared, afraid to step out in this moment. I pray, Father, for a renewed focus in their life. I pray for a seeking after you, God. I pray, Father, you will touch their heart and their soul right now in a place maybe you never have, that they will be open to your presence and want to know who you are. I pray for anyone in this room or anyone online who are not in a relationship with you. I pray that they'll take step one today, and that is to just simply believe, to receive, and to believe that Jesus is Lord and to make him Lord of their life. I pray for people who maybe have taken that step and need to take the step of water baptism or confession or repentance or a turning around, maybe a step of forgiveness, Father. I pray against any unforgiveness that's going on in the room with somebody. Father, in this moment, I just want to pray over anybody right now who's struggling with anything, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. If you'd raise your hand right now, nobody's looking around. If you'd raise your hand, I want to pray over you right now. If there's anything in your life that you're struggling with, you're not going to go talk to somebody necessarily, but can I pray for you? Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? There's one. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sis. Thank you, brother. There's one back here. There's one over here on this side. God, in this moment right now, for the people who just raised their hand, they're struggling with something. I don't know what it is, but you do. You know everything about them and everything about the struggle. And I pray over them, Father, right now in Jesus' name, that you will deliver and that even in this moment, Father, you will lift a burden off of their shoulders of worry and anxiety and fear and let them know that you are there. I pray for healed relationships. I pray for broken relationships. I pray for broken people, people who are hurting with whatever it is, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and I pray against anything the enemy's trying to do, Lord. And I pray, Father, that as we worship your holy name, that we would all come into agreement. We'd all come into agreement and praise and honor you.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of, oh, let us become, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh, let us feel us become
up and receive
your glory.
Come, Holy Spirit.
God is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the
presence, Lord. Come on.
Oh, your presence, Lord. Oh, your presence. Oh, your presence, Lord. Oh, you're all we need. You're all we want. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
That's what we're seeking. We're seeking after Him. And His presence. And His presence. And listen, this doesn't stop in this room right now, okay? For many of you, this is just the beginning. And you're seeking after Him. He wants to be found by you. He wants to be in your heart. He wants to live with you. He wants to go with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He does. So let Him do that. Let Him come into your life stronger than ever before. As we get ready to dismiss today, I just want to ask you to, if there's a question you have, a thought you have, something you need outside of what's happened in this room or whatever it is, please come see me, come see the prayer warriors, stop one of us, let us pray together, let us talk, let's grow in our relationship with God, number one. And with each other. I love you, church. Have I told you how much I love you lately? Maybe I haven't. I love you so much. I do. I pray every day by name for you. And I just, my care in my heart is so deep for Discovery Church, and we love you. If you do not have a church home, please come be a part of us. We'd love to have you. We really would. Not to come do what we want you to do, but to come do what God's called you to do right here with us. Can we just say it that way? We love that. We love that. I love you. I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday and an amazing week. Let God go with you, okay?